I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by AG1. It's the holiday season. And you know what that means? Your routines are all f***ed up. It's because you're waking up to make turkeys, trim trees, and turkeys. Isn't it interesting? You trim them both.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Well, AG1 will let you stay one scoop ahead so that you're getting all your healthy
turkey
things.
Yep.
It's busy. You know, you got to wrap gifts, got to buy people candles and hats. You're going to be in a crowded airport, so you better take AG1 so you get antioxidants and probiotics and functional mushrooms. Not my favorite kind, but part of a healthy diet, I suppose. It's dark out, so you get your superfoods. You're going to have a lot of holiday meals. You need like shit. So get your micronutrients from AG1's full spectrum of them. And also, this is a lot of stress in the holidays. And these are all things that'll help. It's nice to start your routine with something healthy. If you have AG1, you can, make your day starts well, right? You're gonna eat a bunch of dog shit over the course of your day, cookies, loose pumpkin spice.
Sure, yeah. Candy all over the place.
Drink AG1.com/loveit to get a free welcome kit with an AG1 flavor sampler and a bottle of vitamin D3 plus K2. When you first subscribe, that's drinkag1.com/loveit. Make your routine include AG1 in the morning. So you get, I like making a smoothie in the morning, and you have your greens powder like AG1. You have some protein, put some fruit in there, some non-dairy milk. Boom. AG1. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It live at Dynasty Typewriter. Woo! We've got a great show for you tonight. Timothy Simons is here. Woo! Pat Regan is here. Woo! Haley Kiyoko is here. Woo! A lesbian, a first for our show. No, I don't think that's right. This is our Thanksgiving episode, so all night we're going to trot out some truth, stuff ourselves with romance, and give our thanks at the traditional wheel, just as the pilgrims did. But first, let's get into it. What a week. This was the week that Donald Trump finally became a lame duck president. And to show you just how bad things have gotten for him, let me just say that a different way. Trump finally became a differently abled duck. Because woke is back. Can't stop it. It's fine. Here's Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie on Monday with a message for his fellow Republicans.
I would remind my Republican colleagues who are deciding how to vote, Donald Trump can protect you in red districts right now by giving you an endorsement. But in 2030, he's not going to be the president, and you will have voted to protect pedophiles if you don't vote to release these files. The record of this vote will last longer than Donald Trump's presidency.
But Republicans don't think in years. They live in the moment, one Nazi group chat scandal at a time. It's called being present. They're alive. Terrible, but alive. Republican members of Congress are 100% kids that ate the marshmallow. You know what I'm saying? Asking Republican politicians to think 5 years ahead is like trying to convince your dog to drop the raw Thanksgiving turkey it dragged off the countertop because it will give him a tummy ache later. This is not loud noises and fear is the way you're going to get that turkey back. Trump tried his best to keep Republicans in line. He brought Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert in for a meeting in the White House Situation Room, but couldn't bully her into removing her name from the Epstein petition. The congresswoman said her hands were tied. No, wait, I'm sorry. It says here her hands were tired. Trump even lost Marjorie Taylor Greene. First Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban break up, and now this. All of our hottest blondes are in crisis. Wrote Trump over the past few weeks, despite my creating record achievements for our country, all I see is wacky Marjorie complain, added Trump. And that's my thing. Continued the actual president. She has told many people she is upset that I don't return her phone calls anymore. But with 219 congressmen and women, 53 U.S. senators, 24 cabinet members, almost 200 countries, and an otherwise normal life to live, I can't take a ranting lunatic's call every day. Yes, Trump's otherwise normal life of accepting Qatari jets and screaming about the Epstein files while drinking enough Diet Coke to melt a horse skeleton. Trump also threatened to support a primary challenge, writing, I understand that wonderful conservative people are thinking about primary Marjorie in her district of Georgia, that they too are fed up with her and her antics, and if the right person runs, they will have my complete and unyielding support. And so Trump raises the question we never thought to ask. Is there a worse person in Georgia? Green said that Trump's online attacks had set off a wave of threats against her, saying, I am now being contacted by private security firms with warnings for my safety as a hotbed of threats against me are being fueled and egged on by the most powerful man in the world, the man I supported and helped get elected. Babe, you don't have to apologize to us. We've all been there. You meet a charming guy, all right? He wines and dines you. You have the exact same taste in art, which is no art. Continued Green, as a Republican who overwhelmingly votes for President Trump's bills and agenda, his aggression against me, which also fuels the venomous nature of his radical internet trolls, many of whom are paid, is completely shocking to everyone. Trump turning on his allies. Shocking, said Mike Pence, reenacting January 6th with Karen in a length of rope in a twisted game that has reignited the fire in their marriage after 40 years. By Sunday, Green had said she received a pipe bomb threat to her construction company's offices, as well as fake pizza deliveries to her home. It's not delivery, it's the Proud Boys. Green also reflected on the broader lesson in all of this in an interview with CNN's Dana Bash.
We have seen these kinds of attacks or criticism from the president at other people. It's not new. And with respect, I haven't heard you speak out about it until it was directed at you.
Dana, I think that's fair criticism. And I would like to say humbly, I'm sorry for taking part in the toxic politics. It's very bad for our country.
Not to get ahead of ourselves here, but the second annual CrookedCon lineup is shaping up amazing. With Green and Trump on the rocks, Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin suggested that Democrats' tent had room for one more.
We are a big tent. We must be a huge, vast tent. I say this is a party that's got room for Marjorie Taylor Greene if she wants to come over.
We must build a tent so large it is an affront to God. Our tent will be so big it contains all possible tents, including itself. And Trump's loss of clout hasn't been limited to members of Congress. On Tuesday, Indiana Senate Republicans voted to adjourn until January rather than bow to Trump's pressure to draw new congressional maps. That's right. We can't rig the midterms. We're on break. Less maps, more naps. Happy Thanksgiving, Indiana Republicans. Back in Congress, with dozens of House Republicans set to defy him by voting to force the Justice Department to release the Epstein files, Trump abruptly reversed course on Sunday night, which is tricky for him with his weird center of gravity. With Trump's tacit approval of the bill, there was a near unanimous vote in the House on Tuesday to pass the Epstein Files Transparency Act. The only holdout was a mysterious first-term representative by the name of Epri Jeffstein. The Senate unanimously voted to approve the House bill, sending it to Trump's desk, which he then signed. And on Wednesday, Attorney General Pam Bondi said that the Justice Department would follow the law and release its Epstein-related files within 30 days. Okay. So two Jews are sitting by the beach in Miami, What brings you to Florida? Asks one. Oh, my business burned down and we decided to take the insurance money and retire. What about you? Our family business was destroyed by a flood, and so we took the insurance money and decided to retire. Huh, said the first old Jew. How do you start a flood? Trump is gonna burn the FBI to the ground. Point is, Trump is a lame duck, but the more it looks like his power over Republicans is slipping, the more we'll have to worry about how he deals with feeling cornered and weak. It was true after he lost in 2020, and it is true today. Trump is now threatening war with Venezuela after 21 lawless military strikes on boats that have murdered at least 83 people. Trump enacted Operation Southern Spear, the largest accumulation of U.S. forces in the Caribbean since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Trump announced that he was deploying 2 battle carriers, 3 U.S. nuclear submarines, and a whopping 22,000 pages of Epstein files directly into the Caribbean Sea. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the U.S. would designate Cartel de los Soles in Venezuela as a foreign terrorist organization, making it a crime for anyone in the U.S. to provide support to the group. There is a problem. Cartel de los Soles isn't an actual organization that exists. It's a jokey term that Venezuelan journalists used to refer to military officials who take bribes. It's a vague reference to no actual group or structure, like Antifa or the Itty Bitty Titty Committee. It's not that far from Trump declaring war on a case of the Mondays. And he's not just agitating for war, he's seeking refuge in his corrupt dealings with foreign autocrats. Here's Trump at the White House with Saudi crown prince and guy who likes to show people his Aston Martin Valkyrie but can't let anyone see what it actually looks like for him to get in or out of one, Mohammed bin Salman, on Tuesday.
We've been really good friends for a long period of time. We've always been on the same side of every issue.
It's super awkward because MBS is clearly Trump's best friend, but Trump is not MBS's best friend. When bin Salman was asked about the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, which the CIA concluded he ordered, Trump attacked the reporter for bringing it up.
You're mentioning somebody that was extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen. But he knew nothing about it. And we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
First of all, things happen. One moment, you're alluring a journalist to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul to obtain paperwork he needs to get legally married. And the next, a team of 15 Saudi operatives, including people with close ties to the crown prince, are debating whether it's more suspicious to leave with 10 small duffel bags or 3 big ones. Because things happen. Also, embarrass our guest. Bitch, he's not our guest. He's your guest. And he's not your guest. He's our country's guest, which makes him our guest. So it's your house when it's time to build the ballrooms and do the corrupt real estate deals. But then the cameras are rolling and it's back to being our house again. And you're right. A question about Mohammed bin Salman's complicity in the killing of Jamal Khashoggi does cast a pall over your dinner party. But it was always going to be tense when you brought the journalist in for the meeting with the infamous journalist murderer. The problem isn't that it's embarrassing to bring it up. The problem is that you aren't embarrassed all the other times. And as Trump's political nakedness comes into view, Democrats are making sure the room is as cold as possible. Ro Khanna helped divide Republicans over Epstein. We won the debate over healthcare and the shutdown. And as Trump threatens to deploy the military to more American cities, 6 Democratic lawmakers made a video reminding members of America's armed forces that they do not have to obey illegal orders from the Trump administration. It's the kind of video you wish you didn't have to make, like a hostage video or an apology for having your wedding at a plantation.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us. You all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad, but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
Hell yeah. Much like Elphaba refused to go along with the illegal orders of the wizard, added Jeff Goldblum, the Wicked promo campaign is out of fucking control. How'd he get into this thing? The video ends with the phrase, "Don't give up the ship," a reference to the last words of Captain James Lawrence of the USS Chesapeake, as shared by his dear friend, Commodore Oliver Hazard Perry, who kindly omitted his actual last words, "Owie, owie, owie." It's, of course, a statement of fact. Service members must follow lawful orders and refuse unlawful ones. Surely Trump knows and appreciates this, and he's not going to say we should kill anybody over it. Oh, I'm sorry. Trump on Thursday went on quite a murderous posting spree describing the video as seditious behavior punishable by death. Each one of these traitors to our country should be arrested and put on trial, Trump said. You got it, sir, said Trump's favorite prosecutor, Lindsey Halligan, cracking her knuckles and typing trial into WikiHow. Trump also reposted a message encouraging Trump to hang them as George Washington would. George Washington was involved with the hanging of one of his bodyguards, Thomas Hickey, for mutiny and sedition. And I just want to read Washington's warning about his death. He said, in order to avoid these crimes, the most certain method is to keep out the temptation of them, particularly to avoid lewd women who, by the dying confession of this poor criminal, first led him into the practices which ended in his untimely and ignominious death. Good advice then, good advice now. The senators and members of Congress posted a joint statement in response to Trump's threats, writing, what's most telling is that the president considers it punishable by death for us to restate the law. Our service members should know that we have their backs as they fulfill their oath to the Constitution and obligation to follow only lawful orders. Your move, Mr. President, that AI video you're dreaming up where a shirtless version of you with rippling abs kicks senators into a giant pit filled with trans immigrants while yelling, this is Sparta, isn't going to generate itself. Trump's a joke. He's also a threat. And both will become more true in the months ahead. Look at what he said at the bipartisan McDonald's Impact Summit.
Because no matter who you are, everyone loves something at McDonald's. There's always something to have. I like the fish. I like it. You could do a little bit more tartar sauce, though, please. Seriously. I hate when I say, do you have any tartar sauce? Do you understand that? Yes, he understands that.
First, you can't choose how you learn you weren't invited to the McDonald's Impact Summit, but every way hurts the same. Also, you may love the filet of fish, the fish delight, as Trump calls it, or you may hate it. But I can't imagine the flavor engineers at McDonald's figuring out a way to get more tartar sauce onto that cursed fucking sandwich. That is insane. It's like a baseball-sized scoop of tartar sauce. If you eat one behind the wheel of your car, you have to get a new car. And this sick freak asked for extra, this bottomless well of need. And I just want to say to McDonald's, you do not have to follow this order. It is not his McDonald's. It is ours. Don't give up the ship. All right, we'll leave it there. Coming up, it's Haley Kiyoko, Timothy Simons, and Pat Regan.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by IndaCloud. You run on cold brew till 5 p.m., then your soul files for bankruptcy. IndaCloud is the only bailout plan that works. IndaCloud is your online dispensary for actual good times. Gummies, flower, pre-rolls, and more. All federally legal, THC, DEA certified, lab tested, and shipped discreetly. Basically, everything you want without the sketchy handshake or mystery baggie. Sleep gummies? Check. Social buzz without becoming a meme? Check. High dose options for when you do decide to text or X. And $70 ounces? That's cheaper than brunch in L.A. Look, I like every once in a while, you know, at the end of the day, you got to change your mentality. Take yourself to a different place, you know? I got to get this, you know, sometimes I'm home at night, I'm stressed out. I got the sales team floating in my head. I got to get rid of those people. I got to get them out of my head. I'm sick of seeing them in my head. And so I take a little gummy, change your whole mentality. De-stress helps you go to sleep. They have grape soda with indica for calm and relaxation. They have orange soda, sativa for an elevated energy boost. They have strawberry soda hybrid for a mellow, uplifting vibe. Now, this is how you upgrade your vibe without the hangover or the wallet regret. If you're 21 or older, go to IndaCloud.co and use code LOVEIT for 40% off your first order plus free shipping. This is IndaCloud's biggest sale of the year, and it runs all month long, not one of those blink and you'll miss it flash deals. That's IndaCloud.co, code LOVEIT for 40% off free shipping and a little extra breathing room for our listeners. As always, please enjoy responsibly, and thanks to IndaCloud for sponsoring today's episode. That's IndaCloud.co. Use code LOVEIT, 40% off. And we're back! Please welcome to the stage the guest of honor at tonight's Comedy Friendsgiving. It's the festive Haley Kiyoko, the autumnal Timothy Simons, and the cornbread stuffed Pat Regan.
Hello!
Hi.
Which way do I?
Come on around.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so glad that you're here.
We're so happy to be here on these chairs.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
What'd you just say?
I said, Haley, thank you for having us.
I am saying thank you to Haley for saying thank you for having us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Of course. I'm here to help.
I haven't said if I'm happy to be here or not.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I'm just going to see how the first like 5 or 6 minutes goes and then I'll weigh in.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey. With Thanksgiving coming up, we thought, what better use of our 3 stars? Oh, wow.
Thank you, one person.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
To help our listeners emotionally prepare for all the shockingly blunt questions that they'll be peppered with over the dinner table in a segment we're calling The Turkey of Truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's how it works.
Oh.
Well, here's the Turkey of Truth.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Easy to please.
The turkey got so many, such a bigger response than when you said stars.
They're excited to see the egg again because they never know what the egg will bring, but it's a turkey right now.
Oh my gosh. Stuffed.
All right, first question. Hey, Timothy, I see you've been sporting a faux hawk lately. Where'd you get that idea?
Is that a question that's going to come up at Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Okay. The honest answer is I think I started doing it before Paul Mescal. So everybody calls it the Paul Mescal, but I think they should call it the Tim Simons. Yeah. And Paul Mescal would get a much bigger response if here. And I understand that, and that's okay. But I think I just, I asked the person who cuts my hair, I was like, can you... I don't exactly know what I mean by this, but can you give me like an elevated methamphetamine? And then they did that. And I was like, this is great. And then somebody wrote a thing about it in GQ.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Wow.
They like wrote
and then you
a whole,
were like on the carpet too.
My hairstylist.
Wow.
I had no idea this was happening. And then just somebody was like, hey, here's an article about your hair.
That's unbelievable.
Wow, that must have been
gratifying.
I'm
going to get the faux hawk next.
Do it. Elevated methamphetamine.
Simon Special.
Did you like the reception to it?
I have, yeah. They actually said something in an article about my hair that was like, I had never met this person, and it sounded like they were my therapist. They described me so well that I like sent it to my wife, and I was like, "Did you talk to them?"
But how did you know you wanted something so adventurous, like methamphetamine?
I think I was just kind of sick. This is a very supportive Thanksgiving so far. I really like this. I think it was just I was sick of my hairstyle and just wanted to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I always say when I sit down in the chair?
What do you say?
Normal gay haircut.
No.
I say I want a normal gay haircut. Make me look like the most normal gay person you can imagine. Works like a charm. Don't you think?
Yeah. It looks really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think a median gay haircut is awesome.
Totally. Right down the middle.
Yeah. Haley.
Oh, gosh.
When do you think we'll be getting new music?
Oh, thank you for asking. At Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, that's right.
Soon?
Really?
It's so funny. It's like as an artist, you do one thing, and then the first thing someone asks is, when are you going to do more? You know what I mean? And so, you know. But yeah, soon. Like maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for being here on my journey.
So supportive.
Thank you.
I just want to say real quick, I'm really happy to be here.
We got him. We got him. We got him.
We got it.
Pat, is there a family member that would genuinely hurt your feelings if they didn't consume your work?
No. Most of them, I'm like so scared they would consume it. Like I just because I'm like, you know, I like because I mentioned the concepts dealing with gay sex on my podcast, I'm like, if anyone I'm related to listens to this, I will set myself on fire. Do you know what I mean? Because I was raised right. I wasn't raised in a barn talking about sex on air.
I know that the people closest to me can listen to this. Few do. But like I know. They could. Yeah. And I know that strangers listen to this. That's great. The people that I sometimes, it's the the medium group, like the kind of acquaintances or people from my life that I don't see or talk to anymore. Like that is the thing that sometimes I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
They could hear this.
Well, I suffer from a disease where as soon as I start recording my podcast, my brain stops forming memories. So I don't remember a single thing I say on that thing.
Yeah.
Random people come up and like mention something I said. I'm like, I would never say that. That would be humiliating to say. That'd be a humiliating thing to say on your podcast. But I did say it. And now they know it. And they're asking me about it in line for coffee. Isn't that terrible? People are feeling bad for me, but I'm being like upbeat and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't ever feel bad for me. Seriously, you guys. Especially with everything I have going on and everything I have coming down the pike. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's insane.
What's happening for Pat right now.
The framing I'm getting.
Be mad because you're jealous. Don't be sad because he's sad.
Totally.
He's not sad. That if you think he's sad, that's wrong. This week, Trump told the McDonald's summit that he wants extra tartar sauce on his filet of fish. Do you agree that we shouldn't be ashamed if we like extra sauce? This is a question for anybody. Which disgusting thing would you publicly demand if you were president?
First of all, I will say, like, this is bipartisan, but like no one should be ashamed of any relationship they have with sauce, because like we all come into
sauce
this
is sauce.
Sauce is sauce, and it's nature, but it's also nurture, and it's like we can't always control how we feel about a sauce, and there's no reason to feel shame about it. So yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah,
really beautiful.
So yeah,
I'm gonna very subtly push back on this.
Okay,
I think the extra tartar sauce thing is fine. I think that's lower down on my list of things that I would bring up if we were to meet. And I think I broadly agree with you about the sauce.
Uh-huh.
But I do think the ketchup on the nice steak thing is bad. I think that's bad. That does make me upset when I hear about it.
That is so classist.
It's not classist.
I'm sorry, I can't be on stage if classism is happening. So I may have to leave for the night if classism does continue on stage, especially if it's being recorded and stuff.
I think that is it because he's wearing the monocle? Or?
No, I just.
I was going to a live show. I needed to wear my monocle. That's just what you do.
People of all socioeconomic statuses need to see out of one eye. So
I agree with that about the sauce, about the ketchup specifically on the steak. And because ketchup...
Because you're a bougie motherfucker. You're a classist, apparently.
100%. First of all, yes. Yeah. But like, here's my thing about it. Ketchup is... It is very sweet. It is very salty. It is very... Like, it has... It's just like... It's a wall of flavor. And basically, ketchup makes every food kind of like dessert. Like, a little bit. Like,
really?
That's what the sweet does. Just a little bit.
To me, it's so the opposite. But I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't like ketchup. I'll just say that right now. I'll tell you something. And you know what? You know what? You come at me with your allegations of classism. Raise your hand if you had a McDouble on your way here.
So you had a... Did you have a McDouble with no ketchup on it?
I had a McDouble...
Plain?
Dry.
That's tough to hear.
It's because I'm driving.
Yes.
It's because I'm driving. That is a part of it. But also, I don't need it. I don't need the mustard. I don't need the ketchup.
Well, mustard's psychotic.
Well, it's on there. It's on there.
In some states, it's
onions,
not.
Onions and pickles. That's it. That's it. That's all you need. That's all you need, Haley Kiyoko. All right. You know what? We're going to kick it up a notch. Okay. Timothy, do you get typecast as a complete prick since you played such a good one on Veep?
I would. The honest answer is no. But the weirdest thing is that the shit that I get asked to audition for is essentially a photocopy of the things that I have done before. And all the stuff that I get offered is the stuff that is the exact opposite. It's the weirdest thing where it's like, oh, here's like a dickhead that nobody likes that says sexually inappropriate things in an office. We're going to need to see you read for that. And I'll be like, I don't know what else I can do to prove to you that I can do that. And all of the stuff where it's like, oh, this is nothing like anything you've ever done. We've never seen this. Do you want to just come in and do it?
Pat, you wrote an episode of Nobody Wants This in which Timothy stars. Did he do a good job saying the words he wrote?
Totally, though. I will say I did not. watch the piece. But I will never watch. I couldn't go back for season two because of a different job. And so I, for some reason, I can't watch shows I work on unless I unless I know I'm going back for the next season, in which case I hurriedly watched them like a homework assignment the night before the writer's room starts. So I would imagine he did because he was brought back for the second season and they didn't recast. And there was a lot of talk of like, if that role is not working, we'll definitely just recast for season two. And so
there was a lot of talk about that.
When I saw him in the trailer for season two,
they invited me on those Zoom calls. It was rude.
That's Hollywood is mean.
Hollywood is brutal.
Hollywood
that's
is
not true.
Crazy.
We're just joking around.
I was playing up that. Yeah. I was playing that up for effect.
And I was lying. Yeah. I was lying. I was telling a lie.
What an interesting person you are, Pat.
Really? Do you think so?
You don't watch the things you've worked on.
Well, because it's a weird... I mean, if you want to be serious, it's like... It's a weird... We just were talking about the fact that we didn't work together because it's like right now in the TV world, it's very rare for writers to be on set. Whereas like in the network days, that was the writers and actors were always working together. So it's this strange thing where it's like your entire life for like 10 to 20 weeks and you put so much of yourself into it and then you completely let it go. And then when you see it, it's like... this strange feeling where so many hands have touched it since you like since you left it, but your name is on it, and it just feels strange for some reason.
Huh.
Do you know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Yeah. Everyone's crying.
Haley, your new book, Where There's Room for Us, is your second romance novel about women being in love with each other.
Yes, that's correct.
Sapphic. Here's the book.
There she is. Thank you, guys.
You also wrote a book called Girls Like Girls.
I did.
There's a theme between the
That's
two of them.
That's also sapphic.
Yeah. And they can, and girls can fall in love with each other.
Yes, they can.
Wow.
If if you allow yourself to dream.
Yeah. That's so
you
cool.
You can be who you want to be.
Wow.
Yes.
And they're not just sort of...
And no lesbians die in either books.
That's cool.
Yes. Really? It's an absolute phenomenon.
What? I haven't read the books yet, but eventually all lesbians will die.
Yeah.
Like, everybody dies. Like, eventually they will die.
I don't agree that lesbians are immortal. I'm sorry, I don't. Yeah, I think they're humans like you and I.
We never die.
I don't want anyone.
I'm trying to change that.
I don't want them to die. I'm just saying eventually they will.
Yeah, they'll pass.
They'll pass
Thanks.
On.
Thanks, Tim.
I'm sorry.
And they just fall in love with each other in the book.
Yeah, well, it's inspired my fiance, who you met, Becca, at a soccer game, women's soccer game. Woohoo! When I met her, she was trying to hook me up with her younger sister because she hadn't dated women at the time. And so she set me up with her younger sister. Her younger sister bailed, so she felt bad for me, so she went instead. And she didn't look at a blue elephant, but she went instead, and we've been together for 7.5 years.
Wow.
And so that was the inspiration for me to kind of tell our story through the lens of a period piece.
Don't you think it's like we had to go through the Born This Way phase of like gay rights?
Yeah.
And it was a great phase and produced some great art. But you do hear these stories. It does seem that like the kind of whole Born This Way moment in our politics was A, about more male experience of sexual orientation, and then B, kind of a way to kind of convince people, kind of persuade people to be for it. But there is something so, there's something so like bereft in like, you have to support them being gay. They couldn't help it. And it's like, couldn't help it. Well, that's not an argument for something. I mean, I couldn't and wouldn't, but like still it's better than couldn't help it. Yeah, and I that we're past the couldn't help it phase.
Yeah, we're on the right track.
You gotta get married. They couldn't help it. That sucks. You know? And I'm kind of glad we're past that because I do think, especially for women, it is more complicated than that, but that doesn't mean anything less about the relationship.
Totally. Yeah. And I agree with you. I feel like for me, I didn't really have a lot of that representation growing up. And like even being like engaged, people were like, when's the wedding? What is it going to look like? I was like, well, I grew up not being able to be legally married. So this is an exciting time for me.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Wait.
I don't know.
You're currently engaged?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow.
When's the wedding? What's it going to be like?
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Aura Frames. It's very rare that a gift can keep a family connected, even when you're miles apart. That's why Aura Frames makes the perfect gift to give those long distance loved ones. You can put a bunch of photos in a frame and send it to your family, and then it's sitting on the shelf. And then your mother doesn't say things like, it's been a long time since Thanksgiving, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You can put big events in there, silly everyday things. You could put a picture of your dog in there, put a picture of Tommy's dog in there. Get upload unlimited photos and video to your frame for free. Just download the Aura app and connect to Wi-Fi. It only takes about 2 minutes to set up a frame using the Aura app. The app allows you to share photos and videos effortlessly at any time straight from your phone. If you want to personalize your gift, you can add a message before it arrives. Every frame comes packaged in a premium gift box with no price tag, so there's no gift wrapping necessary. You can even take a whole bunch of family photos and then use Photoshop to slowly shrink one person. AuraFrames.com, promo code love it. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code love it at checkout. AuraFrames.com, promo code love it. This exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is the best of the year, so order now before it ends. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. And we're back! Haley, you have a brand new queer romance novel in stores called Where There's Room for Us, as we discussed.
Yes.
Pat and Timothy, you both worked on Netflix's Nobody Wants This, a romantic show about falling in love with Adam Brody, which I did in the early aughts while watching The OC. Anyway, I'd like to call upon your collective powers to answer our audience's questions about holiday romance in a segment we're calling Surely Somebody Wants This. Here's how it works. We want to hear your questions about burning love in the season of freezing toes. Is it better to break up before the holidays or drop the hammer afterwards? Is it cute to hide an engagement ring in a piece of cake, or is that simply a disgusting choking hazard? If you have a question for our guest, please raise your hand and our producer will find you with the microphone.
Oh, we're opening it up.
Oh my God, we're being mobbed. We're being mobbed. They're storming the stage. Oh God, I hope I survive this.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Okay, my question... I am here with my girlfriend. I'm going to her family's house. So this is the second Thanksgiving I've been at her family's house.
Number two.
What do you think are the big goals I need to be reaching for the second Thanksgiving, meeting the parents?
Well, how did the first Thanksgiving, like where first are we at on the meter here?
I think the first Thanksgiving went well. First Thanksgiving went well. I can always do better and be better. Oh. So
wow. Why is it on you?
Wow, wow.
But
I just think that's my job as the guest. I'm here to, and as the partner, I'm here to prove my worth every time I
arrive. Oh, I don't think you need to prove your worth. Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wow.
I'm being honest.
Thank you so much.
Don't need to. I don't know your situation. I don't know what the family dynamics are. So, sorry, I just took it.
No, good.
No.
Yeah, I went. Here I am. I'm already in it. I don't know the such scenario, but I'm assuming it went well enough to go back.
No,
right?
It went very well.
So that's good.
It went well, right?
I mean,
it
listen, well. Most people don't even get to that step, you know, celebrating Thanksgiving with you know, both families. So I think this is an amazing situation, but I feel like you should just be yourself. You do not need to prove your worth ever.
Well, that
you guys,
can't be true.
Well, depending on who it is. But if you guys love each other, then like that's all you need. So I don't know. You do not need to prove yourself, but you're doing great. Number two, let's go.
But what I'll say is if you want to prove yourself.
Yeah, you should have asked. Sorry, Pat should have taken this. My bad.
One thing that happened to me one time was I was dating this bi guy, and he had just gotten out of like a 10-year relationship with a woman. And he was bringing me home. His mom was devastated; wouldn't leave her room. And then for like the first three trips, but then she actually couldn't figure out how to get Disney Plus on her TV, but she was entitled to it. And she mentioned it, and then I helped her get Disney Plus on her TV, and then it literally was, like, a huge win for, like, gay rights.
Wow.
Wow.
So, like, if you can get a streaming service that they were struggling with onto their TV,
that's
it will be
one.
Good for you, I promise.
Oh, hi.
I've heard that people learn from each other's mistakes, so what's your, like, worst holiday romance mistake that you made that we could learn from?
Oh, my college girlfriend, I accidentally told her little brother that Santa Claus wasn't real. And the dude, like, looked at me and then just, like, doe-eyed looked at his parents. There was, like, a slow head turn to his parents. And I had to make up some shit about, like, oh, it's just because he died in my heart, but he's alive. And the dad in that family did not like me at all, like, to begin with. And I think that was really, that would, I think, be the worst thing that I ever did on a
thing. Yeah. That's pretty bad.
I think that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Can't really top that.
That he's going to find out sooner or later. No, he's going to find out sooner or later.
I think the parents would have preferred later.
Right, for sure. I find that, like, as a Jewish person, I find the whole Santa thing deeply strange. I don't begrudge anyone their culture, but for me, it's like, why introduce the lie? Because at some point they find out it's not true. And so it just seems like a strange kind of moment in childhood where you find out everyone's been pretending. But it seems like, I find it strange.
I absolutely see your point. I do think there is something cool about, like, oh, shit can just be magical sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, I know magic isn't real, but I love it when a magician comes up and makes a card appear in my hand. And I'm like, holy fuck, magic is real. You know what I mean? There's, like, a fun thing about that.
And you also get gifts in a way where it's, like, guiltless. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, no one spent money on this. Like, so, like, it's okay. It's okay. You're not, like, you know how sometimes you'll feel, like, guilt for getting a gift? Like, you don't have that. It's just, like, this is just free money. You know what I mean?
Oh, we have a question that was submitted. Should I wait to break up with my partner until after the holidays, or just drop the bomb now and get it over with?
Well, I actually have experience with this, as I was once dumped on Amazon Prime Day. I was once dumped on Amazon Prime Day.
Wow.
I was dumped on Amazon Prime Day. Yeah. And it's like, don't dump someone on a day that's going to happen every year and that they're going to get emails about. You know what I mean? The body will remember. Yeah. I hate to tell you, it will have kept score.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I actually still think, do it before. I mean, don't do it on. Don't do it on Christmas.
I would do it before.
I would also do it before.
Because then at least they have the thing of, like, that thing that's so special in life where your life kind of feels like a movie where it's like, you kind of know what role you're playing where it's like, oh, it's Christmas and I'm dumped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's funner than being like, I'm not sure what role I'm in. I think I'm in a relationship, but clearly this person hates me. You know what I mean?
And you just bought them gifts.
Totally.
Right. And you can't return them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better before.
When I got engaged, or I guess a few weeks before I got engaged, I bought the ring at this place in downtown Chicago. And the woman, right as I was leaving, her advice to me was, oh, don't give this to your beloved on her birthday or Christmas, because then if it doesn't work out, she can just claim it was a gift for that day.
Oh my God. Oh my
and you won't get it back. That was her
advice. It wasn't
going
to work out.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in.
Did y'all do rings?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't gotten mine yet. She's going to I proposed to her this year and then she's going to propose to me.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Cute.
Yeah.
And you don't know when?
No. But it's kind of harder to be second because, like, I've learned through this process I'm terrible at, like, waiting for a surprise.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm like,
totally.
Like, and I'm my cortisol levels are up, so I really didn't think this through.
Hell.
Yeah.
My cortisol levels.
Yeah.
What are they? What are they? So there was an article in The New Yorker by a professor who was in a deeply troubling throuple. And what she said was, in her relationship, she was romantic but not considerate, and her partner was considerate but not romantic.
Oh, wow.
And I do think in couples, there's the romantic one and the considerate one. Which one do you think you are?
Oh, my gosh.
And they're both, and neither
Becca's
is better or worse.
I think the considerate one. I think, I would like to think that I am considerate at times. And I feel like I was considerate with her, but I would, when I think of us, she would be the considerate one. Yeah. And also the romantic one. So I actually don't know what I'm bringing to the table.
Hey, come on.
At this point.
Well, do you do surprises? Do you like...
No. So she's the surpriser. She's the prankster. She's the considerator.
Do you cook?
I can make like 3 meals.
Okay. And, all right.
okay. I really don't know what I offer.
Stop it.
Well, no.
Listen to your own advice about work.
I'm worthy, but like the considering romantic part, I think she gets both of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I'll think of something that I can offer.
I think. Right? That
what do you think, Pat? What do you
think
so I offer?
Yeah. You offer so much.
Thank you so much.
Hilariously funny.
See?
Gorgeous.
Oh wow! See?
I think you are considerate. I could tell that you are considerate just by chatting.
Oh, don't make me cry.
I could tell you're romantic by how you've been treating me all night.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I have been. I have been very romantic to Pat.
I've been basically getting fully love bombed.
I have been laughing at all of his jokes. It's been
that
going
is considerate.
Really well.
That is considerate. That was considered.
You know what I am? I'm a giver.
You are a giver.
I'm a giver.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. This time of year, it's sensory overload everywhere. But one feeling, we're still chasing cozy, and Bombas has the socks, slippers, and basically everything to get you there. I'll tell you a personal story. I'm going to skip all this copy to tell you something from the heart, I was just traveling for a week. I had to go to a family event, and then I did a show in New York, and then we went to Cricut Con, and I packed a bunch of my no-show socks, the ones I've been wearing for a while. And over the course of the week, I was like, these are the last of my non-Bombas socks. I'll just confess that. And over the course of the week, I was like, all these pairs were basically worn through to the nub.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started throwing them out. And so I ordered Bombas no-show socks to get to my house for when I got back. And they're great.
I'm going to do that right now.
I wear the Bombas vintage style athletic socks for working out. Those are the ones that kind of, I don't know whether they're quarter or half calf, whatever, decaf. But they're great. I wear them every day to work out. I wear Bombas all the time. They're so comfortable. And Bombas also has slippers and slides. They've got new shapes, new styles, fluffy things, suede things, a little something for every foot. I have the Friday slides, which I also wear all the time. For every pair of Bombas you purchase, Bombas donates one to someone facing homelessness on your behalf. So anytime you're getting something cozy, someone else does too. Head on over to bombas.com/love it. Use code love it for 20% off your first purchase. BOMBAS.com/love it. Code love it at checkout.
And we're back. Before we get to the gratitude wheel, do me a favor. If you haven't signed up yet, please sign up to be a friend of the pod. We have a 25% off of annual subscriptions through November 30th. Anywhere you are, you can basically sign up to be a friend of the pod now. We're on Substack, YouTube, Apple, everywhere, Spotify. So please sign up. Help us build this company. Help us support progressive media and grow. Really, really appreciate it. It genuinely helps us. So thank you for doing that. And also, there'll be another episode of Bravo America in your feeds on Tuesday, December 2nd, with our special guest, Rachel Lindsay from The Bachelorette.
Wow. Woo-hoo. That's huge.
That's huge. It's time for a game we're calling Wheelie Wheelie Grateful. That's where you spin the wheel, and then when it lands on you, you say something, you talk about something you're grateful for. It's as simple as that. Okay. It's going to be hard for Pat to choose because he has so many wonderful things happening.
This is crazy.
And that's so cool about Pat. That's something I'm grateful for, totally. To be in the presence of someone at such an apex.
At their apex, yeah. It's wild to be at my apex. It's wild to be at my apex.
At the peak. At the peak. Let's spin it.
No, I literally didn't want to go first. I literally didn't want to go first, y'all. I will say, like, I get my haircut at Fellow, and like, I usually try to get, like, they rank all their people. Do you know about that? They rank all their people, and I never go under a senior barber 3 because it can get scary and weird. But then I just needed one really quick, senior barber 3. But I was like, you know what? There's none available. I'm going to have to go with a senior barber 2. I had this woman, Ismenia, who gave me the best haircut I've ever gotten. Don't look at it. No, I'm
is
not
it
like,
this haircut?
This one?
Everyone's like, huh? but I just liked it. And she was like so sweet. And she was like truly, I now identify as her being like a mother figure to me. And we spent like an hour, which is too long. Like I'm kind of like in and out. Like, but with Ismenia, it just hit different. And so I'm grateful for her.
And it's this haircut.
It is this haircut.
Cool.
Wow. Beautiful.
Because the last one, it got weird. It was kind of Tim-coded in that it was like, the last time I went there. I go in, last time I go, I just want a normal gay haircut. He goes, okay, like, what are you thinking? Something Berlin? I'm like, huh? He goes, Berlin, Berlin. He starts looking at his phone. He goes, to me, this is Berlin. I'm like, why are we negotiating what's Berlin? I'm not saying Berlin. I don't want Berlin. I'm like, I want a crew cut. But as Mania, it wasn't like that. She got it straight away.
Yeah. What? Thank you so much for sharing.
Let's spin it again. Haley, what's something that you're grateful for?
I don't have anything funny to say. I'm just going to speak from the heart.
Please do.
I'm grateful for my fiance. I'm grateful for my fans. And I'm grateful for the rain. We needed rain.
Totally. Yeah.
Did
we? Is that okay?
Did we need it? I don't know when we need it or not. We always need
it.
We ever
we
not
do.
Need it? We always need it.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, then great.
The hills are a little greener, you know. I'm an Aries sign, so I'm a fire. So anytime like there's water around me, I feel at peace. So that's where I'm at right now.
Let's spin it again.
God, I've been so nervous about this ever since we started.
What you're grateful for?
I feel like I have a lot to be grateful for. The kids, I think, are good people, or they're turning into good people. Everything broadly, I think, is going okay. Well, not broadly. I would say most things are in bad. But I can think in my little area, I can point to a few things and be like, okay, we're on the right track here. But I can't think of anything like super funny. But so like the one thing that I can think of is that like I grew up in a very small town, and I found like movies were always like a big thing for me. It's why I came out here. I just always loved them. My first job was working in a video store. And one thing that I like really kind of love is, and I know we're in the town for it, but like the rep scene of movie going, like a community that is like coming up around movie going and actually going to movie theaters, especially from like younger people who probably grew up where everything was just available at home, or like they're developing a love for like a communal experience of going to see these things. I think that's really cool. And I think broadly we all miss that. I think the world is better when we all go to a movie theater, we go to a theater. And so I like that there has been like a return to that in a like a conscious way.
Totally.
Shit, I'm glad that went over really well.
That was really good.
And I feel like the dome is coming back. It's slow, but their dome may come back. And I don't know what's going on with the rest of the ArcLight, but I think it's bullshit that's just been shuttered for years. It sucks. There was somebody made this point that you should treat going to the movies like you treat going to the gym, which is that like just go once a week because you feel better after every time. It's like, well, that's expensive. So is the gym. You do it because you feel good, even if the movie is not that. Even if you don't love the movie, it's still a great experience. Like, of course, that makes sense. Get out. Leave your fucking house.
Yeah.
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 Leave your fucking house. I agree with that. I like that. Let's spin it again.
Again?
I wonder who it's going to be.
It has landed on me. And I just first want to say that I'm grateful for Pat.
Thank you.
And his show Seek Treatment.
Thank you.
Which everybody should check out.
Yes.
Thank you.
And a new season of Hacks.
Thank you. Oh shit, someone just yelled, shut up.
You know, there's something that's happened this week that reminded me of something that I think it's easy to lose sight of. And I do feel gratitude about it, which is we're constantly inundated with the ways in which like democracy itself is weak to the authoritarian impulse that we see in Trump and all the people around it. We see kind of cavorting crypto tycoons and other nefarious Trump allies, like basically, you know, flouting their corruption right in front of us. It feels like our institutions aren't doing their job. And that's all true. But I think sometimes in the face of all this, it can be easy to lose sight of what are, I think, two important truths about people and what happens when they have governments. One is that authoritarianism always looks stronger than it is, and democracy always looks weaker than it is. And What we've seen in just like the past couple of weeks is no matter how much there is a desire for control on the part of someone like Trump and the people around him, no matter how craven are the people willing to go along with it or how ideological are the people who genuinely believe it, people are people and the cracks will show. And because it's a system not rooted in collaboration and understanding that human beings are flawed but worthy of dignity and respect and having their judgment heard and being curious about others, because that is not included in how they govern, it is weak in the face of those kinds of fissures. And all of a sudden, a fissure will form, and then boom, Trump goes from having near unanimity protecting him from releasing the Epstein files to losing every single person in a single week. He goes from talking about flirting with being in office for another term to being fully disregarded by members of his own party and someone getting votes by reminding people that he will soon be off the scene. And like that truth, I think, is sometimes easy to overlook. And we sometimes, I think, are too bashful and insecure about democracy's strengths and just the fact that America is a giant, complicated, ungovernable group of rebellious people, and we are not easily ruled and will not be. And so anytime Trump is threatening to deploy the military to our cities, that is scary and that is very bad. Or any Trump is abusing his power or corrupting his power or using the pardon power to encourage some of the worst people who have had his back to do more kind of nefarious and dangerous things. Like, that's all very scary and can have terrible consequences. But we have a lot on our side, and we shouldn't lose sight of that, and we shouldn't be afraid to say unequivocally like that his plan will not work, because it won't. And I would rather have us saying that with confidence rather than worry that this is going to be thrown in our faces if we ever were to lose. Like, what are we afraid of? We should just be confident in it. And I think what we've seen the last week, it's going to be hard. It's going to be bad. There's going to be losses. There is going to be terrible things that happen. It's not a guarantee. But I just want us to go into the next year, into the midterms and beyond, remembering that we have a lot going for us and we are more powerful than they are. And I felt grateful this week to be reminded of that in how the news was unfolding ahead of us. And I think that is...
I thought mine about movies was also pretty good, but
yeah,
that's
our show. Where There's Room for Us is out now. Nobody Wants Us is out. Seek Treatment. You can get it
on any podcast. Wherever you get your podcast.
Wherever you get your podcast. Truly. Hacks. Heard of it?
It's on this streaming service.
That's our show.
Thank you, guys.
346 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend. If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Suba Agarwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East. It's love it or leave it.